Hello, it's Britt here, and this is The Chain. And if you're listening on the Spotify playlist, you might have just heard the most recent link in The Chain, Dear Prudence by The Beatles. On this podcast, we take a song and talk about something that it has in common with a different song, creating the next link in a chain of songs. Last episode moved from Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name, through the intricacies of guitar tunings, to the Lennon-McCartney masterpiece Dear Prudence. Song 2 of Side A of The Beatles, better known as The White Album, Dear Prudence was not released as a single. But in 1983, a cover of the song reached number 3 on the UK singles chart, recorded by British group Susie and the Banshees. Now, if you're not already aware of Susie and the Banshees, here's a quick primer. You could call them goth or post-punk, but their music defies genre and the band did not like being labelled.
We always said, well, we haven't never set ourselves out to be a punk band, a funk band, a rock band, a jazz band. We never limited ourselves that way. And
that's Susie Sue in a 1987 interview for Pop for Mule. She met founding member Stephen Severin at a Roxy Music concert and they bonded over music and style. They became friends with the Sex Pistols and were part of a crowd called the Bromley Contingent, named after the area of London where many of them lived. Their first performance as Susie and the Banshees was an improvised slot at the 100 Club Punk Festival organised by Malcolm McLaren, where Susie sang a 20-minute rendition of the Lord's Prayer, accompanied by Stephen, their friend Marco Peroni, and a pre-Sex Pistols Sid Vicious on drums.
It was me singing or saying the Lord's Prayer, but with like twist and shout, Deutschland über alles, knocking on heaven's door. And over all of this was the only musician who was like this smoke on the water was wafting in and out of this cacophony. It was so bizarre.
With hindsight, we can say it's an art performance or something, but it was just four people got up, couldn't be bothered to write any songs, couldn't really play anything, and we just made a noise.
That's Susie and Marco on Rock Family Trees. As part of the Bromley contingent, Susie was one of the women present during the Sex Pistols' infamous appearance on the UK's Today Show, and it was her exchange with host Bill Grundy that prompted Steve Jones to release a string of expletives on live television.
What about you girls behind?
I'm like your dad, isn't he?
Are you,
with your granddad.
Are you worried or are you just enjoying yourself?
Enjoying myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were doing.
I always wanted to meet you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We'll meet afterwards, shall we?
Yeah. You dirty son. You dirty old man.
Well, keep going, Chief. Keep going. Go on, you've got another 5 seconds. Say something outrageous.
You dirty bastard.
Go on, again.
You dirty fucker.
What a clever boy.
What a fucking rotter.
Well, that's it for tonight.
Bill Grundy was allegedly drunk at the time, and the incident was widely covered by the tabloid press. The Daily Mirror published a front-page story with the headline, Susie is a punk shocker. Today was cancelled. And not liking how she was portrayed in the media, Susie Sue stopped attending Sex Pistols gigs and disassociated herself from that crowd. Susie and the Banshees kept writing and performing and developed a cult following. But despite racking up several TV and radio appearances and selling out venues around London, they struggled to find a record label that would give them complete artistic control. Fans started a graffiti campaign, spray painting Sign the Banshees, Do It Now on the walls of several major record labels. Eventually, the band signed with Polydor and released their breakthrough single, Hong Kong Garden. Throughout the years, Susie and the Banshees went through several lineup changes, with Susie and Stephen the only constants. They recorded a total of 11 studio albums and released 30 singles throughout their career, with Susie going on to find further success with The Creatures and as a solo artist. But their impact on the music industry is better measured by the number of bands and artists that have cited Susie and the Banshees as an influence on their work. This list includes the likes of Joy Division, Johnny Marr, Depeche Mode, Sonic Youth, Thom Yorke, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Suede, Jane's Addiction, LCD Sound System, and so many more.
She was a rebel and I just identified with that. Because I was a 13-year-old child at school with red hair getting bullied every day, and I felt completely disenfranchised and disempowered, and then I would go home and put on my Susie and the Banshees records and feel like I could rule the world.
That's Shirley Manson from Garbage on the programme Queens of British Pop. It's hard to truly summarise the legacy of Susie and the Banshees without playing their music, so I've made a Banshees for Beginners Spotify playlist, which I'll include a link to in the show notes. And if you're already a fan of their music, please jump on Twitter and tell me all about your favourite songs. You can find this podcast at The Chain Pod, and you can contact me directly at Britt Aylin. But back to Dear Prudence. 1983 was a turbulent time for Susie and the Banshees. Then guitarist John McGeoch left the band after being hospitalised for stress and alcoholism. He was replaced temporarily by Robert Smith from The Cure, who were in the middle of their own successful career. If you're a Cure fan, to give you an idea of the timeline, this took place between the release of Let's Go to Bed and The Love Cats. Susie and the Banshees had already recorded a Beatles cover. Helter Skelter was on their debut album. But while touring Scandinavia in 83, they found themselves listening to a lot of the Beatles and decided to do another one. According to their drummer Budgie, the band wanted to cover a song from the White Album and ended up choosing Dear Prudence because it was the one song off that album that Robert Smith knew. Susie has been quoted as saying that she chose Dear Prudence because, quote, "the Beatles got slated for it when it was released. It was unbelievable, but there's just something about that record." And Stephen Severin said that the song appealed to him because, quote, "John Lennon's version sounds a bit unfinished." Dear Prudence became Susie and the Banshees' most successful single, but was kept from the top of the charts by Culture Club's Karma Chameleon. And 5 years later, it inspired the band to release an entire album of covers called Through the Looking Glass. Here's Stephen Severin on Pop for Mule.
That was always at the back of our minds when we recorded Dear Prudence, because if we did an album of cover versions, it would show a broader spectrum of influences and styles that just one single, you know, might look a bit of a cynical release. Yeah. So we decided that we, at some point, when we had either the time or inclination, we would go in and try to, excuse me, try to work up some more songs. And we really only planned it to be an EP. And because it worked so well and so quickly, it evolved into a whole album.
The album contained covers of songs from a variety of the band's influences, including Bob Dylan, The Doors, Billie Holiday, Kraftwerk, Roxy Music, and Television. And the song that we are linking to today was the second single off that album, The Passenger by Iggy Pop. Susie and the Banshees reworked the song, adding a horn section, but their take was given the tick of approval by Mr. Iggy Pop himself.
Yeah, she sings it well, and she threw a little note in when she sings it that I wish I'd thought of. It's kind of improved it, and I thought Budgie plays real good on it, and the horn thing is good. They called me up and let me hear it before it went out, which was nice. They took me to the ballet, as a matter of fact, and sort of like, you know, we did your song here, let's go to the ballet. So that was nice, yeah.
That's Iggy on 120 Minutes. The Passenger wasn't as commercially successful for the band as Dear Prudence, peaking at number 41 on the UK charts. But you might recognise it from the end credits of the film I, Tonya. And there you have it. From Dear Prudence by the Beatles to Iggy Pop's The Passenger via the enigma that is Susie Sue. Next time on The Chain, we'll take a look at the lyrical inspiration behind The Passenger as we link it to the next tune in The Chain. This podcast is optimised for Spotify. If you search for The Chain, the podcast playlist, you'll find each episode sandwiched between the songs that we are discussing. And if you're listening on Anchor, you'll get a 30-second snippet of each song, which is less satisfying, but better than nothing. As I mentioned before, in the show notes, I've got a link to the playlist that I've created as an introduction to Susie and the Banshees. You'll also find all the social media details for me and this podcast, plus links to any clips featured in the episode. My name is Britt Aylin, this is The Chain, and I think now's a pretty good time to throw on some Iggy Pop. I'll catch you next time.